Well, good morning, Twin Cities Church and friends. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, which is constantly checking the attitudes and thoughts of our heart. I pray that today we as Twin Cities Church would set our hearts next to your word and compare and see where we are lacking. May we truly hear all that you intend to teach us from your word today. Amen. Well, today is the parable about the sower, and some of you may have heard this parable before, some of you may not have. Either way, this is a fresh chance to take a look at it, and if you have heard it before, pretend like you've never heard it and listen with ears that the original crowd would have heard Jesus with. In Luke 8, verse 1, Jesus went on throughout cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So just before this, we're seeing what Jesus is doing. He's going through and he's proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Are you guys ready to hear today what God has to say about the kingdom of God? In verse 4 says, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable." So a lot of other people wanted to hear from Jesus that day. They came all across Israel to come here to see who this guy Jesus was and what he was all about. And Jesus took the opportunity to continue doing what he's been doing, to proclaim and bring about the good news of the kingdom of God. And he does this by telling them a parable. Now, a parable is a story that's meant to make a comparison. The Greek word actually means to bring aside, to set beside. A parable is a story that's meant for its audience to set beside their very own lives and make a comparison. In the Old Testament, a man named Nathan told a parable to King David about greedy rich men that took an old man's last goat. Nathan set the parable beside Nathan's actions and heart for the purpose of comparing. Now, King David had killed Uriah and taken his wife. And as David had to set his heart and actions beside the parable told to him, he was quick to make a judgment that these rich men that took the last man's goat, that was wrong. But when he had to set his own heart and actions next to it, he realized the error he had made in his heart and he repented. May our hearts be ready to hear God's word today, just like King David was ready to hear it from Nathan. Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, and his public ministry usually came in the form of parables. Two-thirds of his teaching was in the form of a parable. So here's the parable that the crowd was supposed to set beside their own hearts in order to compare. It's also the first main parable in the Gospel of Luke. So verse 5 says, "And a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" That's it. That's our parable. It's 6 sentences. It starts off with the sower going out to sow. There's 4 kinds of soil. And Jesus says, "Listen. Truly hear." A parable is meant to compare some things. And we don't know what this parable is comparing to yet, but we have a prominent figure in the seed that's being sown. We don't know what that seed's supposed to be compared to yet, but whatever it is trampled underfoot in the first soil and eaten by birds. It withers away and is starved, and it is choked out. Now, we don't know what this comparison is. If it was just a seed, if it really was a seed that we're talking about that was trampled underfoot and starved and choked, I mean, who cares about a seed, right? We step on seeds every day and we don't really notice it. But if this is a comparison to something else, that's pretty graphic language for something to be trampled underfoot and to be starved and to choke. Those are very graphic things. So whatever this seed is, hopefully it's not something precious. Because if it was, this is not good news. But there's hope. To the original audience that'd be hearing this, their livelihood is mostly farming for a lot of them. And so they can relate to these things. But there's hope. In the last soil, if some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And that's good news. That means that the crop made it. That means that their livelihood made it. That means that they can continue living because they made food. I mean, that's an important deal for that crop to bear fruit. So what if that's all you heard? What if this story up here is all I said today? And I said, all right, great, go home. Would you really understand what this is about? What was Jesus really after? I struggled through these questions myself as I prepared for today. I felt like maybe the parable was kind of incomplete. Like, maybe Jesus was kind of had an off day that day and didn't necessarily say what he was supposed to say. Or maybe I was supposed to be there to help explain it to everyone. Maybe Jesus missed out that I didn't get to explain his words. That's ridiculous. Jesus said exactly what he was supposed to say. Jesus' words are perfect, and they always are. So what's really going on here? So far, it does not clearly say what Jesus is doing with this parable. But as we see later on, Jesus was wanting to know if their hearts were really wanting to listen. Perhaps the people were not willing to set alongside this parable to their own hearts. Perhaps they did not want to compare their hearts with the Word of God. Whatever the case, they weren't truly listening. Because at the end, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, when do you tell someone to listen? When they're not, right? Why would Jesus call out as he's saying the parable, continuing calling out, saying, "Listen, hear my voice, truly hear." It is clear that Jesus wants them to hear, and they were not. This is a parable about a heart that hears the word of God. So the next two verses. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament that was given a message to give to Israel. And in chapter 6, God shows Isaiah that even though Isaiah is going to be spreading God's message to these people, Israel had already grown a cold and hard heart, and they were not going to hear it. So what does it mean to truly hear God's word? How does someone truly hear a parable? Now, as you can see, it was the disciples that went and asked Jesus. They're the ones that sought it out. The crowd would have had plenty of access to God's word in the nation of Israel. They treasured that. They had teachers of and rabbis and debaters of the law. How much mint should we tithe? I mean, they looked into it intensely. And maybe they just thought Jesus was just another one of these guys. Maybe Jesus was just another good rabbi of moral teaching. And we're just going to go take a picnic and go listen to Jesus and see what good things he might have to say. Or maybe they thought that Jesus was a great prophet performing miracles. And they showed up and they were thinking, man, last week Jesus fed 5,000 people. I'm hungry and I'm broke. Let's get some food, right? Classic college student, maybe. But then Jesus tells them a parable, and they'd say, well, that's it. Like, all right, like, I'm going to head back home. Like, that's not what I was wanting. Many had a good understanding of the Old Testament, but Jesus often shows us that their hearts and their actions were far from God. After Jesus called out to them to truly hear his words, the crowd is no longer part of the story. They heard Jesus, but they left that day not truly understanding him. The Word of God incarnate stood before them, and Jesus had to say to them, "Will you truly hear me?" And as the crowd leaves the text, they did not truly hear Jesus. Though seeing him, they did not see. They did not recognize him as the Son of God. And though hearing, they did not understand. I think of even today, with all of us coming here on a Sunday about noontime, there's a chance that we could go back to our homes after today and not truly understand this parable, not truly hear the word of God. We could be just like the crowd and say, well, I wonder, you know, it was kind of cool to maybe meet Robbie, but, you know, so what about the word of God? I don't get it, and that's okay. The disciples were different. They sought out Jesus and wanted to know what the parable meant. It bugged them. They wanted to do what God said, and so it bugged them that they didn't know. So they asked Jesus what this parable meant. And Jesus reveals it to him. Verse 11 says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." The parable is about a heart that hears the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. Remember from the beginning, what was being trampled underfoot and starved and choked? We're talking about the word of God. Jesus himself refers to him as the word. So this is something very precious that is being mistreated. And the soil is the heart of a man. So it's pretty simple. You have the word of God, and you have the heart of a man. And we're going to see today what happens when those two things collide. The disciples are supposed to set their hearts beside each one of these soils and compare their own hearts. The first kind of soil to compare to is the hard soil. This heart hears the word of God, but allows the devil to come and take away the word. The parable says that the seed is trampled underfoot and the birds of the air devour it. This is sad. This is no way that God's word should be treated. The Bible has a lot of examples of hard hearts, and they're all sad examples. It is the result of constantly ignoring and rejecting God's word. They do not receive God's word into their heart and their affections. Their affections are far from God and grow colder and colder. When the word of God is treated like this, the parable compares it to being trampled underfoot or devoured by the birds of the air. The word of God is ignored by this person. Jesus' message to this person is trampled underfoot and devoured by the enemy. The hard soil refuses to compare its heart to the Word of God. A good example of this would just be a biking path that's blacktopped. Sometimes you can see roots or plants making a valiant effort to push through the blacktop. Sometimes they do okay. You can see them fighting, but the chances are they're not going to break through. And even if they do, they're going to get trampled underfoot. That's a good picture of a heart that refuses to really compare its heart and affections to the Word of God. It's like a blacktop path. It's not letting anything grow through it. Later we see that the good soil receives the word. But this hard soil does not receive the word. Verse 13. And the ones on the rocks, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. The second kind of soil is the rocky soil. Unlike the hard heart, this heart receives the word, at least for a while. But this heart has no root. Imagine a plant or a tree that has no root, not even any. I mean, it's just a slight breeze would just tip it over, right? A good example of this was, with my friend camping after my graduation party a couple weeks ago, and we found a big ravine full of kind of a rocky ravine that led to a kind of a creek down into the river. And on that rocky ravine were a bunch of trees. But these trees didn't have very good soil to grow in. It was rock. And so where they did, it was, you know, kind of tangled messes of roots, or some of them didn't even have enough moisture. And so, as the text says, they did exactly what the text says. They withered because they had no moisture. So there's these dead big trees, and we'd be on this big ravine, and we could just drop kick one down. It just, the whole tree would just go down and tumble and crash. And I don't know, maybe we weren't supposed to be doing that, but it was a lot of fun. But that's what this kind of heart's like. It just tips over. When trial comes, like the text says, it falls away. This heart receives the word of God, but in time of testing, it falls away, just like that tree. Because this heart never truly rooted itself in the word of God, the parable says that as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. The word of God, Jesus' efforts are being starved and withered in the rocky soil. Later, we see that the good soil holds fast to the word with a good and honest heart. To hold fast means to continue checking its direction and course, kind of like a ship. A good heart would constantly compare itself against the Word of God to constantly see what direction it's going. The rocky soil does not hold fast. Rather, it falls away. Verse 14, let's keep looking at Jesus' words here. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. The third kind of soil is the thorny soil. Unlike the first two, it receives the word of God, and it takes root and holds fast to it. But this heart never bears fruit. It's passionate to receive the word of God. It's passionate to root itself. But it chokes out any thought of actually doing the word of God. It's fruit that does not mature because this heart has affection for other things, for the cares of this world, for the riches of this world, for the pleasures of life. The word of God, Jesus' will for your life, is choked and strangled so that it does not bear fruit. The thorny soil does not bear fruit because its motivation is choked. An example of this, I got some raspberry bushes from a family from the West Side site. They have a huge raspberry patch on their farm, and it grows up great. So I said, hey, let me get some of these and plant them in the woods in my backyard. So my backyard's nothing special, and so I had to take a machete and chop out this underbrush and even chopped off some branches of some trees to get some light on this spot. And then right where that light was, I planted the raspberry bushes. And the first year, I got a couple raspberries. Second year, a few. And then this last year, I don't even know where they are anymore, the bushes. The undergrowth has all come back. The trees have gone over. It's gone. It was choked out. There's no more sunlight. It's like it was never even there. That's an example of this kind of soil. It gets choked out. Later we see that the good soil bears fruit with patience and perseverance. The thorny soil's fruit does not mature. Verse 15. And this is beautiful. If you hear anything today, just hear what Jesus' words say right here. It's just clear, direct, just right to your heart. It says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast with a good and honest heart and bear fruit with patience. This heart is our example. It receives the word of God. It holds fast to it and is rooted in it, and it matures with patience and perseverance. The good soil, the good heart, is unlike the hard soil in that it receives the word of God. It's unlike the rocky soil in that it gets rooted and established. And it's unlike the thorny soil in that it bears fruit. This is the perfect example. And these are beautiful words. The best example of a garden I have was when I used to live in the country. There was an area of land that was used as kind of cattle pasture for a while, and manure and such. And so we didn't have any cattle when we lived there, so we made it into a garden. And we had tomatoes the size of grapefruits and watermelons I couldn't carry. And I was 9 years old at the time, and I thought this was awesome. I would go out there, and every day just tons of fruit or vegetables and such, and I'd gather them up and take them to the farmer's market, and I was raking in like 10 bucks a week. It was great. That's good soil. It bears fruit. It's a joy to work in. So a great crowd was gathering around Jesus that day. And people from town after town came to him. So Jesus told them a parable, as we've looked at today. It was short, only 6 sentences. It was about 4 types of soil. And at the end, Jesus pleads with them, listen to me. Truly hear me. I'm sure most of the crowd heard his words, but they did not truly hear Jesus. They did not recognize Jesus in the words. They didn't recognize it was the word of God being spoken to them, and their hearts weren't in it. The explanation of the parable shows us that to truly hear the word of God in our lives, it must be received, take root, and bear fruit in our hearts. What is our heart? Is it just our memory? What does it mean for it to be received and take root and to bear fruit in our hearts? Our hearts are the things that we love and the things that we do. That's what we're supposed to be receiving the word of God into our affections and our actions. The purpose of a parable is to compare ourselves to the story, to set ourselves beside the story and compare. A parable gets at the heart and the actions of life. Some other parables, such as the Good Samaritan story. Someone asks, what's the greatest commandment? To Jesus. This is a smart guy, and he's saying, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, well, what do you think? And the guy got it right. He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. But then this guy still wasn't satisfied. He said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him a parable to get at this guy's heart and actions. And at the end of that parable, Jesus said, now who really loved his neighbor? And the man said, well, it was the one that showed mercy. Jesus said, go and do likewise. This guy knew the answers, but when he had to compare his heart and actions to this parable, he was told, you got some ways to go here. Another example of a parable would be the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And they have this conversation with Jesus, and this guy knew what he's talking about. He had the right answers. But then at the end, Jesus said, now go sell all that you have and follow me. And this rich man grew sad. Because though he knew the answers, he knew that his heart and his affections was not after the word of God. His heart and affections was after his money and the things he owned. And he walked away sad that day because he knew that what he really loved was going to prevent him from truly following Jesus. If the crowd's hearts truly desire to receive Jesus' words with their hearts, to be rooted in them, perhaps they would have wanted to know. Perhaps they would have asked. Perhaps they would have followed Jesus. But they were nowhere to be seen after Jesus has given the parable. The text leaves them out. They're not a player in the story anymore. And they missed the word of God. They missed Jesus. Can there be anything more critical than that in our lives? Missing the word of God and missing Jesus? And they missed it. The disciples had the right kind of hearts, though. They wanted to receive Jesus' word. They wanted to be rooted in them, and they wanted to do them. They weren't perfect, but they were constantly seeking to truly hear God's word in their hearts and truly compare their heart to the word of God. This is most evident by the fact that they wanted to know why Jesus said what he said. They asked him what it meant. They followed him to hear his teaching. And they left everything in order that they might do the word of God. Do you ever wonder why Jesus said some of the things he said? Or why the Bible teaches some of the things it teaches? Does it bug you to the point that you seek it? That you search after it, that you go for it, for the purpose of wanting to do it? Or are you just saying, you know what, maybe George will preach on that sometime, or maybe someone else will figure it out. I guess I don't really care. You don't care about the Word of God? A parable forces you to set your heart alongside the story in order to truly hear it. It requires a heart that is willing to receive God's word, be rooted in it, and bear fruit. Because a parable requires you to set aside your heart to the story and compare, those that are unwilling to do so will not hear. Though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand. There was nothing wrong with the seed of the word of God that day. I believe that what Jesus said was perfect. It shows us that we must be willing to set our hearts beside the word of God in order to truly hear it, to receive it, to be rooted in it, and to bear fruit. If we are unwilling to compare our hearts to the word of God, we are not truly hearing the word of God. Let me say that again. If we are unwilling to truly compare our hearts to the word of God, we're not truly hearing the word of God. We might be getting the right answers, but we're not getting established in our life, and we're not bearing fruit. So what's the application? Well, through this series of the parables, let us remember and make it a conviction from the Word of God to hear with willing and open hearts, to test our affections and our actions against what the Word of God has spoken to us, and to take every opportunity to hear the Word, to hold fast and be rooted in it, and to bear fruit with patience. So what kind of soil is in our hearts today? I think God is maturing his word in our hearts. But I also think that we're far from perfect, at least for me. perhaps there's a mixture of soil in my life and in our lives. Perhaps there's a mixture of hard ground, some rocky ground, some thorns, and some good soil. Let us examine each type of these soils that Jesus laid out for us for the purpose of comparing them to our hearts, what we love and what we do. So the hard soil, have you received at the most basic level to receive the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ? John 1:12 says, "Yet to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Have you received him and become a child of God? If not, today's the day to do it. Don't harden your heart. Or are there parts of God's word that you've heard before but refuse to receive into your heart? Let me caution you that persistent unbelief in God's word will lead you to a harder and colder heart. If you head down that road, it won't be very long before you're desensitized to the dangerous way you are headed. Let us not allow the word of God to be trampled underfoot and devoured by the enemy. Let's move on to the rocky soil. Is your understanding of God's word shallow? Has it truly taken root in your heart? Colossians 2:6 through 7 says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted in him and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Are you rooted in the teachings of Christ? If not, we have some booklets that from the church that help you study the core teachings of Christ from Colossians. We've gone through those as our house churches in an effort to really get grounded in who Jesus Christ is. Get rooted. Do you feel like you're withering, as the parable says? The ground in the rocky soil was withering because it had no moisture. Psalm 1 talks about a man who meditates on God's word day and night, and he's like a tree that's planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. It says, whatever he does prospers. What a different picture that is from a dead tree that you can just kick over. What a difference. What do you want to be? Be rooted. Be a tree that meditates on God's word day and night. How about your joy? This soil receives the word of God with joy. It hears the good news of the kingdom of God and rejoices. But that joy slowly fades away. Do you have joy in your life this morning? If you don't, perhaps you're forgetting the great truths of the gospel that you can be thankful for. Colossians 1:23 says that through Christ's death and resurrection, Jesus has presented us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if we continue in the faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. That's great news. That is great news because we don't deserve any of it, and yet Jesus Christ, through what he's done on the finished work of the cross, presents us holy in his sight. We're perfect, without blemish, and free from accusation, something we cannot attain ourselves, but that Christ has given as a free gift to us. That's something to have joy about, guys. Let that soak into who you are. Let that create, as Colossians 2:6 through 7 says, let it make you abound in thanksgiving as you're rooted in the gospel. How about the thorny soil? Are you choking the word of God out of your life? Are there things in your heart that are choking out the word of God? I think there are. I think there's things in my life where I just need to take the machete and re-clear out some room for God's word to grow, because God's word is going to be hindered when we place our affections and our actions to false things. It's time to take out the machete. It's time to go after it. It's time to clear room for God's word to grow in your life. First John 2:17 says, "The world and all its desires will pass away, but the will of God stands forever, and his word stands forever." Invest in something that's going to last. Invest in God's word in your life, not in the things that are not going to matter. And finally, we get to the good soil. And this is great news. We're to hear the word. We're to be rooted in it. We're to bear fruit. So let's check. Have you been hearing the word? What efforts do you make on a regular basis to hear God's word? Have you been holding fast to it with an honest and good heart? When you hear the word, do you take it in and compare it to your own life? Are you willing to honestly look at your own heart and how it compares against the word of God? That's not a comfortable thing to do. It's much more easy to put a blind eye to our heart or to make excuses for why we love what we love or do what we do. We say, well, if I wouldn't have been so tired, then I wouldn't have done that. Is that truly taking a look at your heart honestly and comparing it to the word of God? That's what a good and honest heart is. It doesn't mean moral perfection, but it means you're honestly looking at your own heart and comparing it to the gospel, comparing it to God's word, what God's word has to say. And have you been bearing fruit with patience? Is there fruit in your life? In closing, you might be wondering, you know what? And this is how I feel too. You might be thinking to yourself, Robbie, I'm kind of taking a look here and I don't really maybe like what I see. I know I feel like that. There's bad soil in my life. You might be asking, I don't know how to change it. Jesus has given you the ability to hear the word of God. So do it. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Who here has ears? Okay, some of you do. Good. To those of you that raise your hand, he's given you ears to hear, so hear it. I don't think Jesus would say that if his heart wasn't behind it, if he thought it could truly happen. Let us honor Jesus' words today. Let's actually do them. Let's hear his words, hold fast to them, and bear fruit with patience. But to truly hear, you have to be willing to constantly be comparing the word of God to the condition of your own heart. The parable's simple. Take a seed and combine it with good soil. Take the word of God and combine it with a willing and open heart, and beautiful things are going to happen. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for your word, which is constantly checking the attitudes and thoughts of our hearts. As we go on in our lives hearing your word, I pray that we would truly hear it. I pray that your word would take root in our hearts and the things that we love and the things that we do. Amen.